You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Joe Nisbo's crime novels featuring the troubled Oslo homicide detective Harry Hole have found a very loyal readership in this country, but his latest book is something of a departure. It's a standalone thriller called The Sun, about a junkie who is doing time in an Oslo prison for crimes he didn't commit. Mr. Nisbo is also working on a contemporary version of Macbeth. He's written a series of children's books, and he recently wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times on the subject of revenge. He's had previous careers as a rock star and a professional soccer player. Did I mention he's also an economist? Well, The Sun is published by Knopf. I'm very pleased it has brought the very busy Joe Nisbo back to our show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Sonny Loftus, your heroin addict protagonist, has been in prison for 12 years, ever since he was 18. Who is he, and why did he confess to these crimes if he didn't commit them?
Well, he is a Jesus Christ-like figure. The whole idea for the novel actually came on Good Friday a couple of years ago, and me and a friend, we were talking about the stories from the Bible, you know, whether you're a believer or not. I mean, the Bible has the greatest stories, and like really modern stories, and we were I was talking about David, King David, which is one of my favorite characters from the Bible, because he's so, you know, he's not black or white. He's sort of gray. He can go either way. But anyway, we ended up talking about, since it was Good Friday, Jesus Christ on the cross and taking on himself the sins of other people. And that was the starting point. Or actually, the starting point was the creed, because it reads like a great tagline that is sitting by his Father, the Almighty's right hand, and from there he will come back and judge the living and the dead. So that was the topic of the novel, revenge and sins.
In prison, the other inmates confess their sins to him and receive absolution from him. Mm. But he, Jesus was not a heroin addict.
No.
And isn't part of the deal that he gets an unlimited supply of heroin?
Yeah. That is that's the deal.
Is that a standard practice in the Norwegian legal system?
I don't think it's very normal. No, I don't.
But has it ever happened? Or did you invent that?
I think that there's no secret that it's a place where it's not unusual that people get addicted to drugs in the prison. So it's certainly somewhat free flow of drugs, depending on which prison you're talking about.
So he was willing to take a long prison sentence to get the drugs?
Mm. There was prisons in Norway are a bit different from prisons elsewhere in the world.
Well, a lot more high tech.
More high tech, more comfortable. You have your own room. You have your own TV. You keep your own books, and you can have a life in prison in Oslo. And as a drug addict, you know, for him the choice was quite simple: do I want to have a safe, nice room where I can have a steady supply of heroin?
Well, Sonny's father was a policeman who supposedly committed suicide because he was about to be exposed as corrupt. But when Sonny finds out that isn't true, he goes cold turkey, breaks out of prison, and sets out to find the truth. Is this as much a coming-of-age novel as it is a crime novel?
I think it's crime novel, but then again, I'm not particularly interested in defining what a crime novel is and what it isn't. I mean, to me, you could call Henrik Ibsen's play for crime novels, because they have the same construction. It's about the truth and old secrets being revealed, and it's the same in this story.
Well, this is a revenge story, and as I mentioned, you wrote an op-ed piece at the New York Times on the subject of revenge. And you ask in that, why is there this human impulse for revenge when other animals simply get up and leave and go back to their own business?
Mm. Yeah, but I think it's we tend to regard the idea of revenge as something uncivilized, as something animal-like in a way. But really, it's quite a subtle. It's a proof of subtle abstract thinking on behalf of human beings, that you have this idea that if I tell you that you will get punished if you do something to me, no matter I can't take back my child that you killed or the house that you burned down, but I will teach you that there is a price to pay no matter what, so you don't do it in the future. And so the idea of revenge is also the basis for our legal system, for punishment.
It's also the basis for an awful lot of stories where a person finds out that something, a wrong has been committed, and sets out to avenge it, either in this case because his father has been wrongfully accused, but or it could be somebody killed. It could be all sorts of different things, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
I think that it's interesting that, you know, if you think of it, as a fundamental idea or practice that is part of the basis for our society, it's also interesting that it's so basic that it's almost like an emotion. You don't need to even to children, you don't need to explain to them the idea of revenge. They are thirsty for revenge. Most of us are, and so it's also you know, it's a genre of stories in its own right. I mean, the Batman, it's a revenge story. But I'm of the generation that remembers Charles Bronson. Spider-Man too, yeah, and Charles Bronson, Death Wish, you know, which was. Four or five movies. That was very basic team. It was just this normal guy who would kill people. The movie was about just giving him reasons for killing people, and that was the whole idea, and it worked quite well.
In that New York Times piece, you wrote that when Warner Brothers bought the film rights to this novel, their main concern was that life in a Norwegian prison wouldn't seem like punishment to Americans. Mm. So Norwegian prisons, as you described, can be a lot more comfortable. On top of the unlimited supply of heroin, somebody would be willing to sacrifice the other things, like being able to walk outside and in a park or have a love relationship with somebody of their choosing?
It is, of course, a punishment, but I think it's a result of many years of social democracy in Scandinavian countries, and perhaps thinking a little bit differently from most other countries when it comes to rehabilitation of prisoners.
Well, Sonny Loftus was convicted of murder, but the murder rate in Norway is incredibly low. In fact, it has one of the lowest murder rates in the world. In 2009, it had 0.6 intentional homicides per 100,000 people. In this country, there were 5 murders per 100,000 people. That means 8 times more. And yet, you say that a recent survey found that 80% of Norwegians want stricter punishment for criminals. Do they feel that the crime rate has gotten worse in recent years?
I think there's always a feeling of that. If you look at Oslo and you ask people, people are saying that, you know, walking the streets of Oslo is much more dangerous now than when I was young, which is not true. You know, Oslo, in most cities in Scandinavia, are becoming safer and safer each year. And if you look at the number of murders, it's in Norway now, in a year, it's down to 30-something.
Unless a madman, saw a few years back, decides to kill a bunch of people. But that is an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Well, Norway also has a lower incarceration rate than practically any other country in the world, and a lower prisoner recidivism rate.
But since you're talking about statistics, I was just asked I normally get asked, especially when I come to the United States, how is the suicide rate in Norway still one of the highest in the world? And I'm surprised. So I actually checked up the numbers, and it's actually in Norway, it's actually lower than in the United States.
That was an old argument against social democracy. I think President Eisenhower said in Sweden people are committing suicide because they live in a nanny state.
Okay.
Your novels still paint a very dark picture of life in Norway, in which drugs and corruption are rampant. Are you writing about a side of Norwegian life that tourists never see? Or I mean,
partly. It's partly I write about real Oslo. Oslo was one of the worst drug cities for many, many years, and still is ever since the 70s. For some reason, it's hard to find the explanation, but heroin was introduced as more or less the first drug that came to Oslo. And Oslo was never big on the semi-heavy drugs like speed and cocaine, but heroin has always been a big drug, and it meant that Oslo had one of the highest numbers of deaths from overdoses. So we have that side of Oslo. Also, international crime was sort of came to Oslo 20 years ago. On the other hand, it is also true that Oslo is a well-functioning city. And it is a peaceful and safe city. So you have sort of a Oslo by the night side of Oslo, and then you have the Oslo that everybody sees, which is also the real Oslo.
My guest is Joe Nesbø. His latest novel is The Sun. Why do you think that crime fiction is so popular? Does it have to do with the need to feel that crimes are always punished, even though that is not always the case in real life?
Well, I do think that is one of the functions of the crime novel. It is a murder has been committed, so there's chaos and order has to be restored. So I think it's a comfort of knowing that order will be restored, that the heroes will win. So it's sort of a conservative. It appeals to the conservative side in us that society is secure.
The detectives in this new novel seem more down to earth than Harry Hole, who was kind of a loose cannon. Are you feeling the desire to get away from Harry Hole? You wrote 10 Harry Hole books, and when one of the Harry Hole novels, The Snowman, was in the past, when they've asked you to do films, you've said that you didn't want to because you were still writing the series, and now you've allowed for The Snowman to be made into a film. So does that mean you've kind of finished with Harry Hole?
I caved in and sold out and sold the rights.
What was the
Harry
impediment? Were you afraid that the movies would define your character for you?
Yeah, that was it. The movies are such a strong medium compared to the books, so I was afraid that it would define how we walked and talked. So I prefer that there be a thousand Harry Holes in the heads of my readers instead of that one Harry Hole. But I always said that when I turned down offers, that if Martin Scorsese calls, then I might reconsider.
And he did, but now he's off the project.
No, he's not off the project, but he's not going to direct it. He's going to produce it. And the way it looks right now, Thomas Alfredson, the director of Let the Right One In and Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, is going to direct it. And the script is going to be written by the creator of the Danish TV series The Killing. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Very popular in its American incarnation as well. Has the role of Harry been cast? In an interview, you once mentioned that Nick Nolte might be an actor who you'd like to see play him, but I suspect he's a little too old for that, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I knew that at the time also, but he was, has always been one of my favorite actors, and I really liked him. And he has this combination of vulnerability and being a tough and wild guy, and so he could have been a good Harry.
But you don't know who's going to be playing the part.
No, I don't.
I also mentioned before that Warner Brothers has bought the film rights to this novel, The Sun. Any idea when that might start going into production?
No, not really. But we had the press in Oslo had a field day because Channing Tatum showed up in Oslo. And we had had the lunch and dinner, and we talked about movies in general, and about this movie, making a movie of The Sun, and it was really interesting. Him and his producer friend Reed, they were both we ended up talking of about films in general.
So Channing Tatum might very well be playing this part.
He could.
Are you writing the screenplays for either of these projects?
No. I'm not. I try to stick to novels.
I also mentioned earlier that you're writing a contemporary version of Macbeth. Is that something that you were commissioned to do as part of that series in which well-known writers are asked to take on one of Shakespeare's plays?
Exactly. I was asked, and I was lucky because I was one of the first ones that they asked, so I could pick a play.
And you didn't pick Hamlet?
No, I didn't. I picked Macbeth.
Because Hamlet is a Scandinavian play. Macbeth is set in Scotland.
Yeah, I was just intrigued by the character of Macbeth, the way that he makes him the protagonist when the story starts, and then gradually he becomes more and more crazy and one of the villains and more or less the antagonist of the story, and I think that's just an interesting to develop a story like that. That is interesting.
He also has a complicated wife. Where are you going to set it?
It's going to be a city it's going to be set in the 1970s, and not in Scotland, or it could be Scotland. A city that could be Oslo and it could be Glasgow.
Aren't you also working on a TV series about Russia invading Norway?
I'm not working on it, but I had the idea, and I wrote an outline for a country like Norway, a modern democracy being occupied. And the questions I ask in that series is, if you are occupied by a country and they don't take away anything from you, not any material thing that you will... you will keep your standard of living. You will seemingly see the same TV shows, read the same papers. You will have your weekend shopping trips to London or Barcelona. What then does words like freedom and independence really mean? Are those concepts and principles you are willing to fight for and put your life on the line for?
Meanwhile, Norway has a lot of oil reserves, so it's an attractive place to invade. Joe Nesbø is a musician, songwriter, economist, although you've given that up.
Yeah, I've given that up.
His Harry Hole novels have all been bestsellers, and now he's written The Sun, a real departure for him. It is published by Knopf. Thank you so much for being on our show again.
Thank you.